Hey there, Curiosity Builders. I'm Chris Martin, and you're listening to Getting Work to Work, a weekly podcast for creative entrepreneurs, storytellers, visionaries, and changemakers who are on a mission of chasing big ideas, telling epic stories, and leaving living legacies. Whether you're just starting out or have been at this creative and curious life for some time, I hope you'll learn something new in this podcast and find yourself inspired to break through the barriers that hold you back and keep you stuck from getting your work to work. I absolutely love gear. From cameras and computers to lights and lenses, I'm transfixed by the unlimited options available for consumers and professionals alike. My good friend Aaron Hockley, the tech photo guy, recently shared a rant about gear in his fantastic email newsletter. He advocated the need for both gear and skill to create masterful work. In concert with Aaron, I'm going to talk about why you need quality equipment and what that means for your craft and budget. I'm also going to share why you need to understand the stories you tell yourself about these marvelous machines and what marketers are trying to sell you. Show notes and links to all the good stuff mentioned in this episode can be found at gwtw.co/454. As I mentioned, I love gear. It's plentiful, there's always something new, and there is a promise inherent in it that if you get this new piece of equipment, you'll be able to do something new, something unimaginable to your career. Alternately, there is a sense of validation and accomplishment, even of status, that is bestowed upon people that have paid the price of gear acquisition. So people spend the money, they pay the price, and continually buy the latest and greatest gear. Some learn to tell stories along the way with what they buy and grow into the next level of gear and even earn money to pay for that new gear. But then there's the people who just learn to buy the gear and nothing else. And this is humorously called GAS, Gear Acquisition Syndrome. At a certain point, however, the conversation changes. It becomes less about what you're using and more about the skill, more about what you're able to do with that gear. And as Aaron Hockley, the tech photo guy, shared, a skilled artist or craftsperson will be able to make beautiful art with crappy equipment. Or so the story goes. I know for myself, I've held that belief many times throughout my life. I look at musicians like Stevie Ray Vaughan, whose guitar was so beat up, it was such a piece of crap. And yet, that was part of the magic. That was part of his legend. But I realized something important as I think about all of these different ideas and stories percolating in my head. Gear and skill are two characters in a much larger story that we tell ourselves over time. And that story begins when we're really young, as we look at what's being celebrated in the world, as we idolize our heroes and what they use, the influencers and the musicians and the popular celebrities that are the ones elevating some gear over others. In my origin story as a creative, I think there were three pivotal moments that are all centered around gear and the decisions that I would ultimately make about the equipment that I would buy. The first was just the guitars that captured my attention. I know for my parents' age, the Les Paul was the popular guitar. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page used the Les Paul beautifully. Slash would go on to use one as well, but for me, the guitar combination of guitar, pickup, and amplifier was personified by Metallica. Both James Hetfield and Kirk Hammett both used ESP guitars with EMG pickups. The configuration was different between the two. But I knew in my mind that if I could just get that guitar, that pickup, I would have that sound too. But then there was also Mesa Boogie amplifiers. James Hetfield still uses them to this day, along with John Petrucci of Dream Theater. Their sound is embedded in my brain. And so I think about those three areas of gear. The second area in the late 90s, early 2000s were centered around flash websites. For me, it was unbelievable how beautifully intricate and detail-oriented those sites were. I mean, you had the motion. The motion was incredible. There was a studio called Two Advanced Studios, and their work was top of the line. It was beyond compare. And then the third example, and this one really hit home. It affected not only the cameras that I bought, but the work that I wanted to shoot. And it really came from Galen Rowell and the Outdoor Photographer magazine. And that was slide film, specifically Fuji Velvia 50. The green of that film stock was unbelievable. It was catered to daylight. It was catered to outdoor nature photography. And that's what I wanted to do. And that's what I did. Was it great? Not necessarily, but it really informed the decisions that I made in photography. Now, I never did get an ESP guitar, but I did chase after flash and film with abandon. And after college, as I created more and more websites, I learned graphic design. I invested in gear, in photography, in video production. But through all of that, I also started telling myself stories, limiting stories about what I could afford and what was unattainable. To me, an ESP guitar was unattainable. Now, looking back, you could say that it was unattainable because I was spending too much time buying a bunch of shitty gear that honestly would have added up to an ESP guitar. But I didn't see it that way because I had told myself story after story about, you know what, just buy what you can, buy what's available to you, and learn on that. Looking back, I recognize this now as limiting beliefs or stories. And the gear or the skill didn't push me forward as much as the story I told myself held me back. And so I went into debt for what I thought was the best at the time. But the reality is and was that I was behind the curve. And my best was a very low bar, because it was set by me and what I thought was possible and not the industry. And I think that's the most important thing to recognize when it comes to the gear that you buy. First and foremost, let the industry you want to work in set the bar of what is possible. For example, if you want to create content for Netflix, then you need to understand what their expectations and technological specifications are. And they produce comprehensive guides on what you technically need in terms of cameras and all of the gear that goes into making television and movies. So you need to understand what is possible and what is expected of you. But I think you also need to let your vision for your work guide your gear selections. As you lessen the gap between your means and the expectations of that industry, if you know that the top of the line gear is what is expected of you, you may not be able to go for that right now. But at the same time, you don't want to let your inexperience and your inability to do certain things lessen what you go after now. And so you need to go just beyond your comfort zone. Here's the interesting thing, though, and this is where I have some more struggle with, I think for myself personally, and that I would advocate for people to not go into debt for equipment. But the thing is, the more sophisticated your work becomes, the higher the expectations our customers will have. And you have to ask yourself this question: does your gear, does your skill level meet those expectations? Equipment is a fundamental need of creativity. And the truth is that if you can barely price your work to pay your bills, you're never going to be able to get the equipment that will transform your work. And I know that deeply because that has been my story for a long time. I wasn't letting the expectations, the industry, and my vision live together in what was possible. So what do you do? How do you approach gear with a mentality of raising your expectations and going toward the industry standard? And I think you really need to build a baseline professional kit that you learn with, that you grow with, and that is able to expand and grow over time. And the best way to do that is to ask for recommendations from professionals, people that are embedded in that world. You can rent gear and explore your options as well. Figure out what works for you. I know for my particular style, I really like shallow depth of field. F2.8 is so luxurious, and yet I held myself back with an F4 lens. It just wasn't as luscious as I wanted it to be, and I settled over time. And so that feeling of settling for what you have is not the ideal feeling when you are developing your skills day in and day out. But here's the thing. You need a baseline professional kit and nothing more, because you can rent almost everything that you could possibly need, whether at a local rental house or online. There are so many options online. But another thing to consider is this. Don't feel like you need to buy everything. And this is where the conversation circles back around to generalists versus specialists. The problem, one of the only problems in my opinion, of being a generalist is that you end up buying so much gear in a variety of different areas. You stay general on the gear as opposed to what a specialist would buy. If you're hiring a cinematographer or a camera operator, they're going to have different gear than a general videographer would have. So when you hire specialized professionals, you are hiring both gear and skill. And that is an important consideration. That is something to really take in and understand, that when you are hiring people, you are hiring both. Because not only is equipment and software gear, so are people. And gear is glorious. How you think about it, the stories you tell yourself about what is possible, the vision you have for your work, your marketing, your collaborators, the specialists that you hire, and the pricing that you set on all of this, this all affects what you think is possible for you and your work. So the truth is, yes, you need gear. Yes, you need the best gear possible. Yes, you need skills. And the reality is that the best gear multiplies your skill and the stories you tell more than you'll ever know until you are in the moment. But before you can really understand all of this, you need to tell yourself better stories about what is possible. You need to understand why gear and skill go hand in hand. And you need to understand that when you limit yourself, you are making long-term decisions that only reinforce the lies that you tell yourself. Until next time, may creativity and curiosity fuel your life.